Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him to the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Today we begin a new church year. It's almost 2020, but in the church we celebrate the beginning of the year with the season of Advent. Advent gives us this opportunity to recall the stories of Jesus' birth as we prepare for a celebration of Christmas. This year, we will take the opportunity over the next four Sundays to explore some of the main characters in the Gospel according to Luke, in his account of Jesus' birth. Advent is described often as a season of waiting. We are building anticipation for the coming of Jesus, reminding ourselves of the anticipation felt long ago by the people of God as they waited for the coming of someone who would bring God's justice and peace. We bring our hope for justice and peace and look for a day when Jesus will come again. As with the characters in this story, our practices of waiting will look different from one another. I invite us today to hear this familiar story anew, and look for where you see yourself in the story. How might your practice of waiting look this Advent season? Today we begin with Mary, and I invite you to imagine a village in the hill country, quiet, unassuming, far from the intrigue of Jerusalem, yet still under the thumb of Roman rule, far from temple worship with its incense and smells of animals being sacrificed, yet still a place where people gather, tell the old stories, pray, and have rituals of worship. A village with 400 or 500 people. Days blur together into weeks, and weeks blur into years as the daily rhythms of life don't vary much. Most people work outside on the land, growing crops or raising animals. Can you see it? Have you been to places like this? A world unto itself. And here is a young woman of 13 or 14 years old. Some in this room are that age. She is alone, perhaps tending to a garden, perhaps preparing food for her family. She is living at her family home in Nazareth, even though she is engaged, an engagement arranged by her family. A messenger comes to her. Either his greeting or his presence is startling, or both, because Mary is confused at their meeting. She is told not to be afraid, but how could she be otherwise? A messenger coming to tell you God favors you is probably not only unexpected, but also alarming. Why does God notice Mary? She's not the darling of her community, we don't think, the lead actress in the school plays or a star athlete. Her fiancé, Joseph, is descended from the house of David, a royal family, but we don't know who Mary's family is. Mary is favored because God has chosen her for a purpose, and that purpose is to bear a child, and not just any child, but the Son of God, the promised one who will sit on the throne of David and establish rule forever. There are lots of questions that I can imagine Mary is thinking when she hears the words of this angel. And she responds by asking, "How can this be? I haven't known a man," in the biblical sense. There it is. The messenger explains, "This will take place by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the same power in Acts that comes from heaven as tongues of fire and enabled the followers of Jesus to speak to one another as if they spoke the same language. It's a power that does the impossible. Pregnancy without a father." The messenger tells Mary to seek out her cousin Elizabeth, who is pregnant in her old age after many years of not being able to conceive. Mary responds, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me as you have said." While Gabriel doesn't exactly put this news in terms of a request, it is clear this announcement is meant to either be received or rejected. And Mary consents to what will unfold. It is as if she says, "Here I am, a young woman, engaged but not married, living in a small village, not from an important family. My tie to the house of David is going to be put in jeopardy by the birth of a child that is not Joseph's. I have no claims to God's favor or even a plan for what's going to happen next. Even with all of that, here I am. I am the servant of the Lord. Yes." Mary's yes is full of hope. She hopes that God will be faithful. She hopes that her yes will bring about the salvation of her people. We learn from her response that Mary knows these stories of her people. Even though this messenger's coming is unexpected, the message is the same that it has been. For generations, Mary's community has passed on a seed of hope that God will restore the throne of David. That means that God will come and overthrow the powers that oppress the people of God. That God will come and restore the people to their homes. After years in exile and years under the rules of other cultures, the people of God long for a king who is just. A king who will bring peace and not oppression or fear. This promised king is the Messiah, the child that Mary will bear. You must imagine Mary hearing echoes of the story of Abraham, who also got a message from God in the form of three visitors. He was told that he would have a son in his old age. And Abraham's question is similar to Mary's. How can this be? My wife Sarah and I haven't been able to have children for years. And now we're well past the age of having, not to mention raising, a child. When Sarah hears this news, she laughs because it's going to be impossible. God's response to Sarah's laughter is, "Nothing is impossible. You will have a son next year." For no word from God will be impossible. The same words were spoken to Abraham's descendant, a young woman who, like Abraham, hopes in God and says yes. And then Mary's yes is followed by 9 months of waiting, which is followed by many more years of waiting as she, along with Joseph, raise Jesus, anticipating what he will become but not knowing how it will happen or when. Waiting all those long, sleepless, and comfortable nights in her third trimester when each twinge renews the hope that labor is coming. Waiting through the long journey to Bethlehem as she nears 40 weeks, some of it on foot, some on the back of a donkey, for 5 or more days, just so she can be counted, so that Caesar can have more taxes. The perfect picture of oppression and caprice. The emperor calling for people to go back to their homeland so that he can have more. Waiting, Mary waiting through the long hours of labor, hoping that she has the strength to continue. Waiting all those years later as she sees her son crucified, wondering, did she misunderstand this message? Mary's life, from the conversation with Gabriel until Easter morning, is characterized by hope and waiting. Mingled with moments of joy and pain, she is waiting to see how her yes will unfold. The miracle of her son's conception is the beginning of hopeful waiting, and the waiting continues for long after Christmas morning. Pregnancy, birth, and raising a child are perfect metaphors for describing hopeful waiting. I think our culture has done a disservice to us by making pregnancy and birth and child raising solely a conversation for women in that season of life. These experiences, even if they aren't our firsthand experience, express the emotional and physical depth of hopeful waiting. The kind of waiting we're describing, the kind of waiting in Advent, is uncomfortable, perhaps physically painful at times. It's an emotional roller coaster as we look forward to something we can't quite imagine. But hope will be wonderful and meet all of our expectations. And it's the disappointment when the expectations aren't met, the pain of things not turning out as we thought they would, persisting through sleepless nights, each tentative step falling and getting back up, the slow days and the fast years of raising a child. This is a picture of hopeful waiting. This is what Advent is. And this is what Mary says yes to. Where or who are you in this story of Gabriel and Mary? I think we too long for peace and just rule. We see the problems with corruption, how grasping for power puts innocent lives at risk. We too are invited to respond to a message of hopeful waiting. We are invited to be bearers of God's word, to speak, to act, to live with practices that are peaceful and just. We are invited to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to house the homeless, to welcome the stranger. The message today is not of comfort. But it is comforting. God has not forgotten us, and God has not forgotten those around us. Like Mary, it's a message we have to respond to. It won't happen to us, and it won't happen without us. As I was reflecting on this passage, on Mary's experience, and on this question of how do we have a hopeful yes, I read a sermon by Barbara Brown Taylor entitled Mothers of God, and she describes this response in this way. Whether to say yes to it or no, whether to take hold of unknown life the angel held out to her, or whether to defend herself against it however she could. Like Mary, our choices often boil down to yes or no. Yes, I will live this life that is being held out to me, or no, I will not. Yes, I will explore this unexpected turn of events, or no, I will not. If you do say yes, You can take part in a thrilling and dangerous scheme with no script and no guarantees. You can agree to smuggle God into the world inside your own body. You can agree to smuggle God into the world inside your own body. A yes full of hope for what is possible only with God. As you consider what this message is for you today, I invite you to reflect on how you can bear God, how you could say yes to this thrilling and dangerous scheme with no script and no guarantees. Where are you being invited to say yes today? Hear these words from Mary to her cousin Elizabeth. Mary said, "With all my heart, I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored, because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone, from one generation to the next, who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his people, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to Abraham's descendants forever." I invite you this morning to say yes to the hope, to the waiting of Advent, to listen for God's message to you, an invitation to work for justice, love, and peace in the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.